In this episode, you're going to get to learn from one of the wizards of digital marketing and the lessons he's discovered from doing 120 episodes of a very powerful video marketing series.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuzz.
What is up? What is up? All right. One of my favorite things to do is learn as we go, right? The answers are all out there and how we modify and perfect. And these are like little micro optimizations, and how important it is essential when you're creating a video series. Now, in the digital marketing landscape, there are few people as smart and tactical as our guest that's coming up in a moment. He can be found on all of the dominant digital marketing or social media sites, and his information's always timely and wise, and that's why he's one of my favorite people to follow. And so I knew that once Stone Temple Consulting got to 120 episodes of their video series, that it would make sense for me to bring Mark Trappigan back to this podcast to give you what his lessons learned, what they've discovered along the way, so you can kind of leapfrog forward in your video series that you're going to be providing. All right? So let's go right now to Mark Trappigan. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Todd. Always great to be with you. So good to talk with you and your audience.
Yeah, Mark, I feel the same way. You know, I always say that Mark is my digital marketing soul brother. We've got so much in common, and the least we have in common is video marketing, and that's a whole lot. So, Mark, you and Eric are content and search rock stars. You guys have done 120 episodes of that. Here's why. Can you tell the audience at a high level what the strategy is with the Here Why video series?
Okay, great. We built Stone Temple Consulting completely on inbound marketing, the concept of inbound marketing, meaning that our desire is to attract the right customers so that they want to get in touch with us, they want to find us, they want to find out more about us, rather than pushing into interrupting, trying to cajole them into giving us a few minutes to talk to them. We find it works better for us when they want to talk to us. And the primary way we do that is through content. And we've experimented with all kinds of content. Content is a lot more than blog posts, although we certainly do a lot of those. And we write blog posts on our own blog at stonetemple.com. We publish major data studies on a regular basis. We invest a lot of time and resources into doing research into various digital marketing topics, particularly search engine optimization, but also on how content works, on how social media works. So we publish those. Eric and I and the growing number of others from our company speak regularly at major conferences all across the country and even across the world. I can say that truthfully at this moment, because almost as we speak, in a little while, a couple hours from now, Eric will be delivering a keynote at SMX Paris in France.
You know, it's funny you say that because Eric and I are, of course, Facebook friends, and I've been following his journey. In fact, yesterday I saw photos of him on the Champs-Élysées. And and so just the thought of Eric shopping in Paris was kind of interesting to me.
Well, if he's shopping, you can have about an 87% chance of guessing correctly if you think it's in a wine shop. That's where you'll find Eric. So content, creating content of all kinds. So when video began emerging a few years ago, especially, you know, a lot more people were paying attention to it. You, of course, were way ahead of the game on that at Wirebuzz. But, you know, we noticed that this was the up-and-coming thing. We said we need to try that out. We need to experiment with that. So in the beginning, our first kind of efforts at video, and especially any kind of live video or presentation, traditional talking head interview video, was with Google Hangouts.
Right.
So we started two shows. We actually did two weekly shows, 2-hour-long shows a week, for about a year off of Google Hangouts. And each had a different theme. One was just Eric and me answering questions from people in the audience, both live and sent in advance. And the other one was more typical interviewing industry experts like you're doing right now. So we did those for about a year, but then we noticed that a lot of people were moving toward shorter form video. And we noticed the power of things like YouTube, where, you know, kind of how-to videos and quick explainer videos that are anywhere from a minute to a few minutes long were very popular. And a lot of the kind of video content that more and more people were looking for. So we wanted to experiment in that vein. And that's what Here's Why was about. Just one more thing about it. We decided, okay, if we're going to do this, we want to take somewhat of a unique approach. As I said a year and a half ago, I think when we talked about this previously, we never hide the fact that we were extremely inspired, which is a fancy word to use for motivated to copy as much as possible. Rand Fishkin's Whiteboard Friday, Rand Fishkin from Moz, right. Very, very successful weekly video.
Probably
series,
a standard bearer in our industry of where this stuff all got started.
So we wanted to, you know, go with that format where we were going to help people understand digital marketing topics more deeply, but in a little bit different form. And the difference would be that we were going to go a little bit shorter. Rand's videos tend to be 10 to 12 minutes. We're shooting for anywhere from 3 to 6. And also to take an approach, the Here's Why name is very intentional because we noticed there are a ton of videos out there that explain how to do things. A lot of videos explain the what about things. And it was like, you know, what's the latest news? What's happening? But we wanted to take the why approach, go a little bit deeper and say, here's why behind this topic. Here's why this thing is important. Here's why you should know about it. Here's why it matters to you as a digital marketer. So that was the fundamental approach of Here's Why.
All right, that's really helpful. You know, Mark, my friends at Salesforce.com that run the marketing, they have two active strategies when it comes to their content. So any of their videos that are out there across social are basically information, thought leadership. And as soon as you click and land on Salesforce.com, that's where the buyer's journey at Salesforce starts. So those are the two different tactics. But in order for inbound marketing to work, I know you know this, but for those that are tuning in right now, a company needs to provide smart content offers. Can you talk about the content offers and how you use your video series to bounce people into your database through a turnstile?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, we don't do a lot in terms of the trying to capture the audience, although that's something that we're going to be moving toward for reasons that I can get into. Our thinking on that has changed some because, and the reason we might be a little bit different from a lot of the businesses listening today in that regard is, as an agency, our typical client is a Fortune 1000 company, many of them in the Fortune 100. They're large enterprise companies. They move very slowly. They're like an ocean liner turning toward anything that they do. So the sales cycle is very long. It's not something where somebody sees one piece of content, they click a more information button, they sign up, and you know, next week they're a customer. It typically takes many months and many, many touches. So our content is designed more to be there where they are and to meet them at every step of their journey, from everything from the very in-depth content, which like would be our paramount would be the data studies that I mentioned earlier, the research studies that are typically, you know, anywhere from 1,500 to 4,000, 5,000 words, go very deep into a topic, to these on the other end, these Here's Why videos, where you can get a quick nugget, something informational, something useful in 3 to 5 minutes. So, you know, one of the things that we've discovered that's very useful to us is doing all those different forms of content, different lengths, different media, different outputs or outlets where we publish that and put it out and promote it, all different ways, because these are all places where we can get in front of the audience. And our goal is that they won't be able to get away from us. Eventually, if they're out there, if they're a curious person who's a decision maker in a major company, especially in marketing or SEO or something like that, they're going to run across our content sooner or later, and they're going to run across it more than once and start to realize, you know, Stone Temple ought to be on our radar when we're thinking about somebody to help us with our digital marketing.
So multiple touch points is your friend, because as they go through the buyer's journey, the more they see you, the more they're like, damn, he's everywhere. Do people say that to you? Because that's like the number one thing people say to me when they see me at a conference speaking, or I run into somebody somewhere, they're like, dude, you're everywhere. I mean, isn't that a good indicator that your marketing is effective?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the wonderful things, especially about video, that it just increases that all the more, because of course people actually see you, and they see you and they hear you, and so they feel like they know you, and you become in a strange way sort of a movie star, a TV star in a very small world, but that's okay. It's the world that you want to be known in. So we do find that, and it took a while, but over the past year or so, it's very consistent now that if we go to an event somewhere, we're traveling, we're anywhere where there be going to be people from our industry and people from companies who would be our prospects, we're walking through a conference hallway between sessions, whatever, we will have, a large number of people stop us and say, hey, you're the Here's Why guys, or it's Mark and Eric, and we watch all your videos, or everybody, we hear this kind of thing. Like, we hear, what's very gratifying to us is we hear people from major companies who say, like, we sit down as a department and watch that video every Monday when it comes out. Or somebody recently who became a decision maker in a major company who became a client said, along the way of deciding to contact us, he sat down and he watched every single one. At that time, there were about 115, I think. Every single one of the Here's Why videos, he binge watched it. He's got to be the first and the only person that's done that, and I feel sorry for him. But
he thinks he's watching Netflix, right?
Yeah, he got that. Somehow he got that mistaken impression, and we profited from it, so we're okay with
it. Hey, Mark, what's the prospect like? I mean, how is the prospect's vibe different when they've watched a handful of episodes and then they approach you guys? Aren't they already in your spider web in the sense that you've already kind of got them into the Mark and Eric vibe? You've explained your thought leadership, and now when they've reached out to you, they're much further down in the sales process than a normal cold prospect. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, very much so. And again, it's the multiple touch point thing. So, it could be any number of things. Let's say that in this example, that the Here's Why video is the first thing that they run across, and they start watching a few of those. We intentionally mix those up with a number of them are original topics, meaning that it's it's something that we're exploring just in that video. Not to say we won't ever explore it anywhere else, but that's where we initially did that piece of content. But a number of them also are kind of summaries or introductions to other content that we produced, and particularly the study. Like, almost any time that we publish one of those research studies, within a month or two or three afterward, you're going to see a Here's Why video come out about that's going to touch on the high points. But the call to action in that video is go see the whole study. And so what we hear often is a person sees a video, that's an introduction. They get a taste of the topic, well, I want to know more about that. Or maybe they're a little skeptical, like, that seems pretty radical. What's their data on that? They click through, they go look at the study, they say, this is impressive what they do. And then they start looking at other studies that we've done and other content. So that will be the kind of flow that will happen. And if it happens to match up at a time near to a future time when somebody's saying, like, we need help with our digital marketing, we need some outside help, we're at least going to be on their radar. We're at least going to be in the game at that point.
All right. All of that's really helpful for a business that's looking to amplify its marketing, develop deeper relationships with prospects, and then convert them. Naturally, the Here's Why is a great tool for educating prospects. But the Here's Why on your ROI is that it drives leads, it develops relationships, and it also helps you close deals faster, right?
Exactly. Because what we find is that we have more than enough leads that we could handle. And our director of business development handles most of those, or Eric gets involved with the larger companies that come in. They'll inevitably find it's a situation where they're already pretty familiar with us. There's not a lot of sales to do in terms of our, credibility. We don't have to tell them that we do deep research. We don't have to tell them that we're data-driven. We don't have to tell them that we're insanely passionate about the digital marketing industry. We don't have to tell them or show them that we do it ourselves, that, you know, to use the old phrase, that we eat our own dog food, because they've typically seen that. They've seen that demonstrated. They'll tell us that themselves. They'll tell us, they'll say, like, okay, the reason I'm calling you today is because of these things. So we're already miles down the sales process. We don't have to overcome all of that. Pretty much at that point, all we have to do is show them that we have the resources to match up with whatever their particular need might be.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, Mark, over 120 topics. I mean, that's a lot of episodes. Right now, we're, you and I are recording episode 91. And if memory serves me, I believe you and I did episode 3 of Video Marketing Mastery, episode 4. Okay.
It was actually number 4. I watched it yesterday in preparation for this.
And good enough for you to come back, right?
I'd come back for you for anything. but yeah, it was actually like, I listened to it and I was ready to cringe a little bit because it was a year and a half ago almost. But I was actually said, you know, that was really good. And I was eager to do this one because this is kind of a, I know we've been laying out just the basics, much of what we covered in that episode as well. But I'm also eager to, you know, talk about, guess what? A year and a half of doing that since, we've learned a lot. And we've made a lot of mistakes and done some good things too, maybe by accident, that have changed how we've done it even since we had that.
Beautiful.
Thought.
So our crack journalism department here inside of Wirebuzz has informed me that you're in episode 4 and episode 7 of Video Marketing Mastery. Mark, bring us up to speed on some of the lessons that you've learned since the last time we spoke and how you're doing your Here's Why series in a more effective way.
All right, well, one of the things that we found that we needed to do was to vary the topics more. And what's interesting is that, you know, I wrote that down in preparation for today before I watched episode 4 of your, or listened to episode 4 of your podcast. And I was a little bit, my face turned a little bit red because here it was, like, you know, I said almost a year and a half ago, and I said the same thing then. The difference, but I was saying it then is like, this is something that we know we need to do. And the difference is now we're doing it. And what I mean by that is understanding that we, and I think any content producer, any content marketer can make this error. You tend to get locked into talking about the things that you're interested in and that you're thinking about any one time. And you should talk about those things because they're going to be the things that you're going to be the most passionate about, you're going to know the most about. But you've got to realize your audience has all kinds of pain points and all kinds of questions and all kinds of things that they want to know about. And if they're only seeing a few specific areas from you, they might, you know, they might not think that you can really help them. So we've been very more intentional about varying the topics. And as I alluded to a few minutes ago, we also are trying to balance out between original content and things that are just recaps of our existing content that we've already published elsewhere. Part of that is that now we have an audience more and more who are seeing and are regularly reading and watching and listening to, you know, all of our different content that's out there, that we want to make sure that we're giving them something new on a regular basis, a reason to watch Here's Why. And we don't want them to tune into Here's Why every week and say, like, oh, that's, you know, yeah, I read that blog post 3 months ago, I don't need to watch this. So that's one area that, you know, in terms
and
of the content.
As you know, answers are always in the analytics for marketers. It doesn't matter if you're a content marketer or a search marketer. How do you use, being a data-driven agency, what type of answers are you finding in your analytics to help you provide higher quality content or better information?
Well, there's a couple of different things we look at. From the analytics standpoint, one thing that's actually very useful that I don't think a lot of people use or maybe even know they can do is setting up, we use Google Analytics like a lot of people, but I'm sure a lot of other analytics programs, site analytics programs, have a similar function. We set up a function where we can track actual searches on our own site. So when people come in, we know these days that even though we spend a lot of time setting up very fancy, very nice navigation on our sites, people don't typically go through websites by the navigation anymore. They come in, they have something in mind, they want to know about, they want to learn about, and they'll use the search function. You know, Google has trained everybody to do that, and they do it on websites too. So we monitor that, and we often get ideas from that, where people have, because you could actually see in your analytics the keywords that people are typing in on your own site. And, you know, a lot of times one will stand out and say, like, oh, man, you know, several people are searching for that topic, and we have nothing. We have no content or very little content on that. We need to make some content on that area. So that's one. Another one is just good old-fashioned talking to our own people. Now, in a lot of companies, that would be maybe the salespeople, customer service people. In our own business, because we're a consulting agency, primarily it's the consultants. Our senior marketing consultants are all digital marketing experts on their own regard who work directly with our clients. And we don't have any, you know, account management people in between. Everybody gets direct access to their own senior marketing consultant. So they are very in the trenches with their clients. And so one of my jobs, one of the things that I do is I regularly meet with them as a group and individually, and I'll ask them, I'll pepper them all the time, like, what are the things you're hearing from our clients? What are the pain points? What are the questions that they're having? What are the things that they're struggling with? And that's been actually one of our most fruitful areas for ideas for our content.
All right. Now, as a listener, what I'm hoping you're getting out of this, you know, out of this wisdom, is the recognition that the next topics are often found inside of your office. They're found within the search function on your website and the data that you're seeing inside of your analytics on how people are using your website. I mean, more importantly, what I want you to recognize is that a great marketer is going to look at the clues from their audience and start to create content that their audience is demanding and start answering questions around that and be really helpful. You know, helpful is the new viral. So make sure while you're looking at these things, think to yourself, how could I consult? How could I advise? How could I guide? And don't be so worried about having to make money every time you give advice. The more advice, this is all about the power of intention. The more advice you give, the more valuable you're going to be to that target audience, and they're going to reach out to you and do business. And I'm sure Mark is already seeing the same thing. So regularly checking in, Mark, with your consultants, they are often the ones that, you know, they've got their finger on the pulse. They're a great place to go to get the next topic you should be covering.
Yeah. I mean, just whatever you can adapt this to whatever business you're in. Talk to the people who talk to your customers. And set up some kind of communication where on a regular basis you can draw out from them. And you're going to have to ask them. They're so into that. What you'll find is that they don't even think about it. To them, the problems they're in from their customers, that's just normal life. But if you can get them talking, all of a sudden they'll say something and your eyes light up and you say, like, oh my gosh, that would be an incredible topic, or that would be a great study we should do. And they're looking at you and like, that's what we talk about every day. But you got to get them in conversation, I think, is the best way to find out, discover what those things are that they're hearing from the customers that your light will go on and say, we need content about that.
And Mark, this just doesn't work for agencies, right? I mean, this works if you're a product or a brand or a service. You take that information and create the content around it.
Yeah, as I said, you know, talk to you. It's going to be different for different businesses, but you know, it might be the customer service people. It might be your sales staff. Basically, the first thing to think of is who is interacting directly with the customers, because they're the ones that are hearing the questions. They're the ones that are hearing the complaints. They're the ones that are hearing the problems. They're the ones that are hearing the pain points. So, you know, they are an incredible resource for your content idea.
All right, Mark Traphagen, the pain, the problems, the questions that come up that may be common objections, all of those are valuable information to put on your site. You agree with all that?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I just, you know, I think Marcus Sheridan, you both know,
yep,
known as the sales lion, but just a great guy who was just your regular average kind of local business person, small business, and blew up his business a number of years ago just by understanding this, by listening to his customers, talking to his salespeople, and building content, hundreds of pieces of content all of them, each one specifically targeted at questions they were hearing from their customers. And just doing that, boomed the top of search because he was serving people with content that they actually wanted to find, and blew up his business incredibly. And now he teaches other people to do that. So, some variant of that. That's just a very simple way to do it, just literally turning the questions almost into FAQ. But using them to generate the ideas is a very great thing. But another thing you've got to think about is the content itself in terms of its delivery, which is almost as important. Some people might say it is as important, but I think the content itself is the number one thing. But we've learned a lot along the way, too, about how to better deliver that content, especially in the video. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, let's. I want to make one point about Marcus Sheridan, then I want to talk about how you've optimized the actual content and improved it along the way. You know, when you talk about Marcus Sheridan and what you're really doing is you're talking about, answering the questions your target customer is demanding, and there are a variety of different ways to do that. Mark and I are both cancer patient advocates. It is part of our purpose is to give back in those areas. And when we launched Breast Cancer Answers in 2011, we took the same philosophy of answering patient questions, doing it in video, being hyper responsive to the audience. That's how we generated 6.3 million views in year one and some 700,000 followers for that campaign in 12 months. And still to this day, those videos, if we do no marketing or no social around it, those videos are so popular that they'll generate over 50 or 60,000 views without us really doing anything. And that's because the audience is already demanding it. We know the audience is demanding it because we listened in the first place. And when we do marketing around those campaigns, it's very easy for us to increase that audience by five times, into the 250,000 views a month just by interacting and getting the message back out to the audience. And it's kind of a time-tested, true way of doing it. Agree, Mark?
Absolutely. Yep. And it's, it's the work of being a marketer,
yeah.
Right? And you pay attention to that stuff constantly.
All right. Now, optimizing is also the work of a marketer. It is a full-time passion. Like, if you want to be great, you always have to be optimizing and tinkering based on the analytics and the feedback and as you grow. So naturally, you guys are 120 topics in or 120 videos into the Heroes Why series. How have you guys optimized the presentation along the way?
Well, one of the things to say about that first is that that's 120 episodes, and those are 120 weekly episodes. So we turn that out every week. Every Monday, a new Here's Why comes out. That means we've got to be working well in advance, and it's certainly a challenge. But the reward of doing something like that, turning out content on a regular basis, short-term, whether it's weekly or bi-monthly, is that you get more frequent feedback. You can more quickly see what's working, what's not working. Part of that is watching your analytics, but also combined with just paying attention to what's going on in the industry and what people are talking about. So here's an example of that. We're both come into play. We added just slightly before episode four, when I talked the first time about Here's Why, we had just begun just a few episodes of Here's Why before that with adding some very creative introductions
right.
to the videos. So when the videos first started out, the earliest ones were more typically just Eric and me standing in front of a white wall and talking. And, you began, boom, maybe a little title sequence, and here we are talking about the topic. But our personalities began to express what we're goofy, we're kind of like to have fun, along with the very serious stuff that we do. So we started building these little skits at the beginning. And they were not only just our personality, but they were also intentional because when Facebook moved to the autoplay videos, and then YouTube with autoplay within a stream or within a playlist, we knew you've got just a few seconds to capture people's attention, especially on Facebook, where people are not there necessarily to watch your video. They're just scrolling through their newsfeed. They're just looking what's happening with friends and family. and all of a sudden some business comes in with a video. And if it's just some guy talking, they're going to ignore that. They're going to move on. So we did these interviews, and they were very successful. We saw, so this is going back to, you know, last time we talked, the success was adding these kind of skits. We're wearing costumes. We use a green screen to have crazy backgrounds. It's something like, if you're scrolling through your Facebook page, you're like, what the heck are these two guys doing? And you got to stop and click on it to find out, what are we doing? What's going on? And then hopefully we've got you. We've grabbed your attention, and we get into the meat of the content. Now, you know, we've got you where we want you. So that worked up to a point. We discovered, we watched our stats, and we saw more people were watching, more people were clicking on the videos, more people were staying a little bit longer into the video than before. So that was a success. But then that success plateaued, and, you know, we got as much as we could out of that. So what's next? Well, thinking, all right, now we get kind of so into those intros, are we losing some people? Because maybe they're a little bit too long. So we started experimenting with tightening them up, shortening that, editing them better, making them quicker, getting through them in, 10, 20, 25 seconds maybe at the most in the beginning, so that we've had the fun, we've got their attention, but they know that we're going to get into the meat of the content more quickly. And we did that. We made that change. Again, a rise in the stats. You watch the stats, the view time, how long people stay in the video, went up a little bit. But then that plateaued. So now the latest thing we've tweaked, we're always, tweaking something. And this was just, sometimes you don't see your own forest for the trees because you're looking at these videos all the time. You're working on them. Somebody from the outside said, oh my gosh, the title sequence. We had this animated title sequence with all kinds of swishing noises and music and things that went in between the introductory skit and the main body of the content. And they said, we suddenly looked at it and was like, wow, that thing is 11 seconds long.
Yeah, it's way too long.
And on a video, 11 seconds is an eternity. And sure enough, I looked at the stats and I looked for individual videos, like where did that occur? Biggest drop-off point was during that title sequence. So we cut that down to 3 seconds. And again, people break through that barrier now. Now more people stay into the main part of the content. So these little adjustments, you're just always looking for what's something that we should at least experiment with and tweak, and then look at the results. Watch, over a period of time. Again, the weekly video gives us fast feedback on that, which is great.
All right. So what I love about this is, and Mark, really, this for my audience is super valuable because, we spend a lot of time talking about micro optimizations along the way and the value of it, but you're explaining it in a really practical way of how you looked inside of your analytics. You see what your audience is responding to, what actions they're taking, and then you're optimizing in order to get the results that you're looking for. And I know for a fact that once you guys went from an 11-second open to a 3-second open, you were able to retain that audience a lot better and pull them through. And that feels like a win because now you just made the content more valuable.
Right. And then that's not all. We're not satisfied with that experiment. We're moving on to the next level. Now, the next thing we're going to be trying out is, especially for Facebook again, is producing some 30-second variants of these. So just 30-second long videos, like one tip out of a here's why from the past, one little nugget or something like that, put that out there. And we're doing that because we've noticed by reading what's going on in the industry, what people are seeing and observing, is that, a key metric for videos on Facebook is the percentage of time watched. How much of the video are people watching? And if people are watching a larger percentage of the video will get cranked up more in the algorithm. So it sounds like a cheap hack, but it works for people, is that these shorter forms, you don't want them necessarily to be the only thing you do, and we'll keep putting the long forms out there. But 30-second forms, first of all, it's much more likely that somebody's going to watch most or all of that, and that more people are going to do that. So it bumps that up. But they also can then act as teasers to the longer form content. Somebody sees that one tip, and they say, oh, that's cool. I want to know more about that. Well, the call to action is right there. they can go to the longer form video or to the blog post or whatever it is. So that's our next experiment, is these little 30-second videos. So we've gone from hour-long, you know, two people sitting behind a table interviewing people to 5 to 6 minute, here's why, with a quirky, introduction and outro, to now even, 30-second nuggets. And it's not like any of those is better than the others, but they're just all capturing different people at what they need at the moment.
Good, good, good lesson. Look, for those of you interested in information about the Here's Why series, I'm going to make sure there's a link to the Stone Temple website and also to the landing page where all of these 120 topics live. To give you a quick overview, here's episode 19, why one little known factor can explode your YouTube channel. Here's why, right? Click on it, you find out, and you start hearing about watch time and the value of it and how to optimize for it. The episode 18 is why writing style matters for content marketing. Episode 117, why non-viral content can still be a big win. Here's why. Like, this is really valuable information for content marketers coming from the best in the business. And Mark, I noticed that Eric seems to be the one that in each of these skits is wearing, more often than not, a pretty basic outfit. And then you get to wear something like in episode 118, where you're wearing like a gangster rapper outfit. You're totally fine doing all this, right? In another episode, you're dressed up as I don't know what you are. You're like a stainless steel cat. What is that? Is that a robot?
I think it's supposed to be a robot if it's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, I kind of end up being the clown. It's developed, and people have said this to us. It was not intentional, but it's just the way it's developed. We've become kind of like a classic comedy team, like an Abbott Costello or, whatever.
George and Gracie.
Yeah. Where, Eric is sort of the straight man, although he gets goofy at moments, and I'm the clown. And that's just been the personas that we've taken on. And it often will be, Eric and I couldn't be better friends, and he couldn't be a more wonderful person to work for in the world. But often, in the little skits, it'll be kind of like, I'm showing off some kind of stupidity, and he's making sure the audience knows just how stupid I am. So we have good fun with each
other. Okay, but it also changes the whole vibe when you meet people for the first time. They want to do business with you. They're already laughing with you.
Yeah, and they know we covered this in the last time, but I think it's so important to emphasize is that the number one reason we do this. It's not just to get attention and kind of trick people into watching the video, but it has a deeper purpose. And that is, again, I said, we're a serious business. We do business with Fortune 1000 companies. It's, we deal with millions of dollars of other people's money. So it's no laughing matter. And yet you're always dealing with humans. And people appreciate that. CMOs, vice presidents of marketing, directors of SEO, they love the fact that they kind of meet us first through these videos and find out we're smart. That comes out. That's got to be there. The real smarts have to be there. But first and foremost, we're just regular people, people that they would, enjoy hanging out with. And that's important if you're going to be doing business with people for a long time.
Absolutely. One of the best content marketing tactics that I did recently was I asked the team to take the outtakes from a welcome series where we taught our audience how to guarantee their videos generate ROI. And we re-edited those and then pushed them out, so people could see how frustrated I was getting behind the camera and the crazy things that fall out of my mouth. And when I went to the next conference and was speaking, almost everybody that came up and talked to me referenced that blooper video, and it just humanized me to them. It's just a really interesting tactic. All right. I'm sure you guys have gained some insights on how paid promotion can help with your organic reach on YouTube. Is there anything that you can share with us on that?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked that because that's something that we've recently experimented with and noticed. And that was, we've been doing more and more over the past year with doing paid boosts on our social, and that includes YouTube. So, paying to promote our YouTube videos. And as with anything, is a learning process. And it took time, and we hired some good consultants and people to help us, but to learn to do the targeting properly. But here's what we found on YouTube was that as we got our targeting better and better, so that we were getting the videos in front of the right audience. Those people were, of course, because they're the right audience, they're the people that are interested in what we're talking about, they're going to be more likely to watch the videos and to watch them longer and to watch more of them. So our watch time, which is now we believe the most important metric on YouTube, and not just for your individual video, like how long do people watch that video and how much of it do they watch, but also something that not a lot of people talk about is that YouTube monitors overall watch time from your channel. So if videos from your channel are the way that people come into Facebook or come into YouTube, and then your video makes it more likely that they're going to keep watching, that they'll watch other videos afterward, maybe the videos that are in your playlist or videos that are on an end card that comes up at the end of your video, whatever, you get rewarded for that, meaning rewarded in their algorithm. Now, here's the thing, very different from Google search. Google search religiously keeps a wall of separation between their organic search results and AdWords, which is the paid ads that appear on search. They do not mix those at all. You cannot buy your way into Google search, I assure you of that. It's different on YouTube. It's different on Facebook. All they care about is that, is your page or your channel generating more time on YouTube from people? And if your paid targeting is doing that, guess what? Your organic goes up as well. And we see that it's like a delayed graph going up one after the other. And now we started hearing of some other YouTube experts. It's been confirmed by other people that are observing this. So the quick tip is experiment with your videos and use paid targeting to drive the videos to the right audience where you're driving up your watch time. People are watching longer, they're watching more videos, and you'll find that you get an overall reward out of that for your channel.
Really, really good advice for our audience, Mark. I'm glad you did that. Can we talk about Video Player and the discussion that you and Eric and the team must have had around if you use YouTube on your website and, recognizing that there is a search impact on that decision. What made you guys decide to use the YouTube player on the Stone Temple site?
Initially out of just convenience, because we were familiar with YouTube, it was easy to use, and it was very easy to, what Todd is speaking about is every video that we produce is also recreated in a blog post on our site, which has the transcript. We do a transcript of every video because we're turning that audio into text, which is still the primary way that search engines like Google are going to find that content and help people to discover it. So we use the transcript, and we add some resources. We add any links that we mentioned in the video, we add that. So we make it, a good, convenient home base for that video. And then just, embedding the video from YouTube into WordPress is just very easy to do. But we also find that one of our largest, I think it's 18% of all of our views on YouTube occur from those embedded videos. The video is embedded on our site. So they're driving, a significant portion, almost a fifth of our views are happening there. And those count, by the way, YouTube doesn't care where the video is playing. So if it's playing in an embedded form on a website, it's exactly the same as if it's playing in YouTube. So the watch time, the number of people that view it, all those statistics still count. So it's one more place for people to find the video. They can find it easier through general search that way. And also, of course, then those people we have on our site where we can hopefully lead them to other content. Maybe they're going to explore a little bit more deeply, look at our sales pages, those types of things.
And it's really interesting because now your site is a tool that ends up increasing the watch time of that content, which helps increase the overall search results. Do you get ever irritated that your blog page that is the episode's landing page on your website that has your transcripts and the YouTube video will never outrank the YouTube video on YouTube in search results?
Well, for us, we don't care because our main goal is exposure to the content. number one thing is like, so we don't care as so much about, you know, of course we love people to come to our website because at your website is always the best opportunity to convert somebody, to sell them, to have them see more of you. But our number one goal for us, going back to the beginning of the conversation, is that people are exposed to our brand and our brand is associated with expertise in the area that we interact with our clients. So, ultimately, we're happy if it's being seen. And we're going to take advantage of understanding that, you know, always there's certain pitfalls with building too much around other people's platforms, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever, Medium, all kinds of platforms that are out there. But we want to take advantage of those because there's audience there that we will never reach just from our blog, just from our site.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's Mark Trapagan. He's the senior director Mark, wouldn't it be great if I had my notes in front of me before I start mentioning who you are? He's the senior director of brand evangelism at Stone Temple Consulting. He's a dear friend of mine. Mark, while we're on this topic, is there anything else that I can mention or promote for you while you're with us?
Not in particular right now, Todd. If people come, you know, they can check out our content, our studies that we have mentioned at stonetemple.com. Just go to the blog tab there. I think they're going to find a lot of things that they'll be interested in. And, you know, start checking out the Here's Why video series. People can find me on Twitter at my name, at Mark Trapagan, T-R-A-P-H-A-G-E-N. And we're very responsive there. If you have questions about what we're doing with our videos or anything to do with digital marketing, always love to hear from people.
And I'll make sure that there's a link to stonetemple.com on the show notes page for this episode, episode 91. And also there'll be a link to the Here's Why section. And if you are on Facebook, I think it would be really smart to follow Stone Temple Consulting. You'll get the latest Here Why videos in your feed. That's how I normally see you guys. And Mark, thank you so much for checking in, giving us an update on the lessons learned all the way to episode 120.
Thank you, Todd. Always great to talk with you and always great to be a part of your wonderful audience.
Thank you, man. I feel the same way about what you guys do. Tell Eric I say hi. I'll look forward to seeing you on the speaking tour soon. And in the meantime and in between time, everybody, he's Mark Trapagan, one of the best in the business. And we're grateful to always get him on the podcast. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Isn't it interesting to hear Mark Trapagan talk about the, really the essentials of digital marketing and how it fits into video. And it sounds very similar to what I've been sharing with you across past episodes of Video Marketing Mastery. And the reason why we're like-minded is we come from a very similar entry into digital marketing. You know, we're both content marketers. And that's where my path got started and a foundation in search and understanding the analytics. All of those things started to lay out before I dipped my toe into video in 2007. So I find it to be really reassuring to me when I hear somebody that's a full-fledged digital marketing rock star like Mark that is echoing very similar principles that you're hearing here on Video Marketing Mastery. Now, candidly, Mark is one of my go-to people. Mark and I have got one of these relationships where on a Sunday, it wouldn't be out of the blue if we had a private long conversation where I picked his brain or he picked my brain on a topic. And no matter where he's in the world or where I am, we always seem to connect up and to be talking about digital, and it's a real honor for me to bring him here. In fact, speaking of honors, one of my favorite digital marketing honors is to be on the same podium as Mark at SMX and to be hosting a topic together. And that was a lot of fun for me. It was the first time I got to meet Mark in person, and the two of us just became buddies in the process. And so I'm really grateful to be able to bring him to you so you can learn from one of the best and the brightest, Mark Trapagan, Stone Temple Consulting. his partner I mentioned to about earlier, his partner in crime, Eric Enge, was awarded Search Marketer of the Year. An easy way to look at it is Eric is the big guru in search, Mark's the rock star of content. And when those two forces come together, really amazing things happen for brands. A special thank you to our friends at Stone Temple Consulting for joining us. All right, if you want to know how to guarantee your videos generate ROI, a return on investment for your business, all you have to do is go to the landing page on our website where we're providing a free mini course. It is a 5-part video course featuring yours truly where I teach Wirebuzz's secrets for guaranteeing your videos, yes, you guessed it, generates ROI. And the way to get access to that video mini course is to go to wirebuzz.com/ROI. Think return on investment. And as far as I'm concerned and my team here at Wirebuzz, you know, video's a great tool for entertainment. You can make people watch music videos and you could show them how things blend and all of those fun things that we love YouTube and video marketing are about. But for me, it all comes back down to brass tacks and can you generate ROI? Go to wirebuzz.com/ROI to learn how to do that for your business. It will be a game changer because video is the most powerful tool on the internet for business. Most people look at video as being a marketing tool. But once you understand the principles of integrating video into your strategy, into your website, and how your website's developed into the content creation, and then the posting and the socialization and the ad spend, once you've got all those things, well, video is not just a marketing tool. Video is a sales tool. And that's where I'm trying to bring everybody, the awareness of how to use this and leverage it to generate more revenue for your business. Wirebuzz.com/ROI. All right, an easy way to remember episode 91 is the Gulf War. Desert Storm started in 1991. One of my dear friends came back from the Gulf War. Dude put on 40 pounds while he was over there, and he's a notorious bad speller, like really bad, like as bad as me. So I asked him when he came back from the war and he put on 40 pounds, I said, did you think you signed up for Desert Storm? Wirebuzz.com/91. If this episode was valuable, and Lord knows it was, because Mark Trappigan dropped some really important bombs for each of our businesses to optimize, perfect, and polish. If this episode was valuable to you, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, rate and review, hit that subscribe button, and we'll make sure that every episode of Video Marketing Mastery gets sent directly to your mobile device. Now, the other piece to this puzzle is, if you're rooting for somebody, if there's somebody on your team or a family member that is dipping their toe in digital marketing, there isn't a better place for them to get started than episode 1 and to go through this series because all roads now in marketing lead through video. They just flow right through video, and the way you amplify your results is to naturally add video to it that's compelling and helps you achieve your business goals. So make sure you send this podcast to anybody you root for. We'd really appreciate that. And coming up in the next episode, episode 92, well, Wirebuzz is going to break down the latest video marketing news that can take an average marketer and turn them into somebody that can leverage this information to amplify results. All right, all right. So that's the big news coming up next. And a special thanks to our friends at Stone Temple Consulting. My hope is that with each and every episode, you become a better marketer so you can use video to amplify your ROI and to turn your business into a friggin' juggernaut. All right, everybody, peace out. I'll talk to you on the next episode of Video Marketing Mastery.